Dear brethren, praise the Lord for all His goodness. Turn your Bible, Psalm chapter 18. Book of Psalm, chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 6. When we read with understanding. Amen. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, God of heaven, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel, our Creator, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your agape love. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for the still small voice that tells all of us right now, we are yours. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that is ruling our hearts right now. Through Christ Jesus, the fruits of righteousness we can only receive through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom all glory and all honor. Only through Him we can praise and glorify the name of the Lord. Lord, we bless your holy name, for you are our exceedingly great reward, and you are our everything, our joy, our righteousness, our glory, the purpose of our very existence, the reason why we all breathe today, because, O Lord, you created us. You created all of us in thy image, in thy likeness. What a privilege, Lord. But when we go out of our image, you want us to mold us, the potter. When the branches go beyond what the Lord wants us to grow with, Lord, you want us to be pruned. Here we are, O Father, to submit to thy perfect will, to continue to be perfected, to be molded, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be strengthened, to be rebuked, to be washed, Lord, by thy mighty hands alone. For it is better for all of us to fall in the hands of the Lord. And Lord, here we are. We just want to remain as the prisoners of Christ. We just want to remain as a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, for we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the words of life. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed assurance that we all can praise and worship you and stand upright as we read the word of the Lord, as we sing songs unto Zion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless all of us, O Father, to understand what you did on Calvary. The heaven and earth trembled before thy name, yet you chose to be humble. You chose humility. You chose sacrifice. You chose Calvary. You had all power, O Lord, and dominion over everything. You can destroy everything in a fraction of a second, but you chose to wait. For the Lord whom we serve is gracious, is merciful. You wait for us. You waited for us, and you are waiting for us. May you, Lord, help us to have the passion, the desire to wait for thy coming with the desire, with that wildfire to tell you, our Father, our Master, our Savior, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. As the bride is waiting for the groom, Lord, we bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are a little part of thy great divine ministry of reconciliation, ministry of redemption. We are not worthy, Lord, but Lord, help us to be sincere. Help us to be sincere, Lord. Help us to remain humble as we stay in Jerusalem. Everything else, O Father, the Lord who is mighty in battle, as we know, we will be still and know that you are our God. Help us, Lord, to stand firm in thy word, to rest in thy presence, to be quiet, to listen to thy still voice, to understand that you are faithful and we are called to be faithful. You are holy and we must be holy. And for that reason, O Lord, we submit, we surrender our everything in thy altar, in thy presence. Do a work in all of us, Lord. For we want to bring souls to thee. We want to shine the light, the true light, to the darkness. We want to live a life that people can see the life, Jesus Christ. We give all glory and honor to thee. Take complete control of our hearts, our mind, our thoughts, as we are the holy place. We are the place where the Lord wants to stand in the midst of us. Bless the place, O Lord. Consecrate our hearts. Sanctify our hearts. Wash it thoroughly with the blood of Jesus Christ. We submit to thy word. We submit to thy presence. We submit to thy name. And we submit to thy calling. And we submit to thy love. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. So glad to see so many children. But the Lord is also looking at all of us as children. Amen. Could be 70 years old, 40 years old. But we are all little children to whom we serve. We thank the Lord for the family of Brother Martino. Glad to see all the wonderful testimonies of the Lord beyond what men can think, what women can think, even beyond what the servants of God can think. But it is the Lord who purposes the blessed thoughts, and the Lord who brings forth those thoughts into manifestation. So we serve the Lord who is a living God. God who never ever forsake his covenant. And we are dealing with ourselves. We, the oath breakers, covenant breakers, ungrateful human beings who always, always go against the Lord the moment he drops us. The moment he decides to show how weak we are exposed. May the Lord clothe all of us with the garment of salvation, the garment of praise, as it has been given to us as a gift. But the Lord called all of us, don't drop it. Amen. Don't lose it. What we have received is a precious gift, the token the Lord has given to all of us, the Holy Ghost that has sealed all of us unto the day of redemption. The day when we go against the word, the day when we go against his name, is the day the glory of the Lord leaves the temple, our heart. And this has been our meditation for all the last 3 or 4 weeks, how the Lord blessed his children to guard their minds, to guard their hearts, to guard their lives, to guard their city, to guard their house, against all things come what may, just by holding on to Him, just by trusting Him, believing Him, and listening to His voice and understanding. Amen. When Ezra the scribe read before the people of God, those who received the understanding, they were able to understand what the words were spoken. And the Lord will not simply throw His understanding to everything. Understanding is the revelation that we all receive. Amen. And the revelation is only the Spirit can unfold, open, and reveal to those whom the Lord wants. It is not about who runneth, not about who willeth. It's all about who the Lord wants to show His mercy. For He is righteous. When I was reading the blessed thought on trees of righteousness, this has been my prayer meditation recently. Trees of righteousness. Trees cannot speak, cannot move. There is no head, no eyes, nothing that can make you to say, I have a name, I have a face, remember me. All the trees look same. If you go to a garden, if there is a specific garden which has the same trees, let's say mango trees or orange trees or apple trees or different breeds, but if you look at the same breed, same type, you can't differentiate which one is which. All look same. When the Lord tells all of us, I want you to conform to my image, the teeth of righteousness conform to the one, the only one who is righteous, spiritually we must look same. We must speak the same and we must think the same. Then we can say, Lord, I have the mind of Christ, I have the revelation of Christ, and I am led by the Spirit of the Lord. Although we may look different in this earthly little journey, but when the Lord looks at all of us, we will be seen as one single bride. Because we look same. Spiritually, we are same. Assembled, designed, crafted, created, and breathed life into by the life. We thank the Lord for blessing all of us to conform, because none of us are perfect. Amen. But the problem is, whenever the Lord teaches something to us, we feel puffed up. We say, I know something that others don't know. So maybe I'm special. My brethren, no one is special. The song that we sing, yes, we can say special, because the song that we sing to the one, He is special. He is always special. Full of surprises, full of wonders, do things that no one can think of. He is special. The way He saved your life is special. The way He forgave your sins is special. The way He showed mercy is special. But what we think, we tend to let go all things, the special thing that He has given to us, and we consider all as normal, small thing, then we become the special thing. Because you have truth, you know the Lord, you serve the Lord, you preach gospel, you praise and worship the Lord. It does not matter if Christ is not in us. What He did on Calvary is the thing the enemy is trying to make people forget. Forget, it's done, Calvary is over. Whatever the humiliation, shame, whatever the pain, suffering is over. Don't talk about the past. Think about your glorified Christ. He is the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. They are trying to separate our friend, our master who gave His life for us to a far distant place so that we will feel like the wipe of load looking everything from a far distance. That's not the life. We are not called to become the pillar of salt. We are called to become the temple of Holy Ghost. The tabernacle keeps God in, not nearby, not far away, deep in. When the Spirit calls us, it's called from the deep. Amen? What do you mean by deep? If the Lord says, the depths of the ocean of His love, deep. Can anyone, even the husbands, can you know the deepest thought of your wife? You never know. The fathers, you can say, yes, this child, the Lord blessed me to bring forth. Oh, fine. Tell me what your child thinks right now. You don't know. Tell me what is the pain or frustration going on in someone's life right now. But you say, he's my brother, he's my sister, I'm his father, I'm his wife. You can say so many things. The scripture says, the Spirit searcheth all things. All things. Every single thing. Even that you may think, is it really in my heart? You may try to fool yourself. But whatever that we have safely stored in our heart, we are the owner. Remember, you are the landlord of your house. your heart. But the Lord wants to become the Lord. And for that you have to give away your heart. Everything for the double-edged sword to cut it and throw all the flesh, all the filthiness, all the ungodly thoughts, all the unholy intents to be burned in His presence. And for that reason, the Lord wants to build the house, build the city, and build the world. Amen? Now, the life of Hezekiah, the life of Nehemiah, against those who came to attack the people, to hinder the work of the Lord had some purpose to bless them, to grow in their faith, to tear the claws of kingship and put on the sackcloth of prayer. The Lord witnessed how His seeds will manifest, how the work of Him can bear fruit, because the Bible says both Nehemiah and Hezekiah, they were so glad that God prepared them. Prepared them for what? If there is a preparation, then there is a battle. Amen? The question is it going to be a physical battle or battle in your mind? The time that we all live in, we face battle in our mind. Depression, frustration, self-harming thoughts, self-exalting thoughts, extremely weary thoughts, extremely self-righteous thoughts. You can see, we can go to any extreme. We swing between sadness, happiness, depression and pride. We swing, our mind swings, oscillates. The only anchor who can hold the ship is Him. The only shelter who can prevent your thoughts is Him from all the rains of brimstone and ugly arrows. By grace of God, we shall continue from what we learned so far by grace of God and how it takes us from now on. Because there are things that the Lord has hidden in His word to be manifested for those who seek with hunger and thirst. Hunger for the bread of life, thirst for the new covenant. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs. Last Sunday, we stopped at verse 9. We read from verse 10. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. This whole section talks about rejoicing in the righteousness of the Lord, or in other words, rejoicing of the righteous people. But the people have no righteousness, which means people who have God in them are righteous. Amen? There is no righteous that we have. Verse 10. When it goes well with the righteousness, the city rejoiceth. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. Now you know, when Joshua completed circling around the city 7 times, there was a great shout before the Lord destroyed the wickedness and bring forth Rahab and her family and those whom she loved, those whom she called as family. The Lord delivered them out of the city of Jericho. Very similar to how the Lord delivered Lot and his 2 daughters, but the wife didn't survive the test. Now, on one side, the wife of a righteous man didn't survive. On the other side, a harlot woman survived. And not just her, those who are part of her house. On both sides, the similarity or the beautiful way of the Lord working in the same way, there was an invitation. The 2 angels who were dealing with Lot, they invited not just Lot. They said, your son-in-laws, your daughters, all those that belong to your house, invite them. But do you remember, the son-in-laws, they were mocking Lot. They did not join. They did not receive his invitation. It was placed for them to escape. Many are called, few are chosen. The invitation was given to all of the family of Lot. But the son-in-laws mocked at him. They said, come on, who are you? You are just a new foreigner, stranger in this land. And Sodom and Gomorrah both were destroyed by brimstone and fire. But that's not the intention of the Lord, to destroy or kill people. He destroyed wickedness. He destroyed things that are evil, that are harming His children, in whom His promises are yet to be fulfilled. Because nothing shall stand against God's word. So it's an invitation from the 2 angels to the children of God. And also it's an invitation from the evil to the Lord to come and destroy them. Because the Bible says, God said, I heard some cry of evil They are calling me to come and destroy them. He sent two angels to go and do some spy. The same way Joshua sent two spies. Amen? He sent two spies to the city of Jericho. God sent two angels to the city that Lot was dwelling in. Lot was restored. Rahab was restored. But this restoration had to be completed with the wrath of the Lord. Think very deeply. This redemption was made complete when the Lord fulfilled His wrath upon things that are not His. Can we say wrath of God is something that we should flee away or run away or tell God, Lord, don't get angry. If the Lord chooses not to show His wrath, how can we enter into His rest? But the Lord also reminds us, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. You wrestle against wickedness. It's not figurative understanding. Spiritually, the Lord wants us to burn. The Lord wants us to destroy the wickedness of our heart, our thoughts, what we face in our life. By what? By being in His presence. By confessing and praying. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses and be healed. Whatever that you can't burn alone, share and you will burn it together. We press on. We march forward. We go again and again and again. When we sing the song, I love Him and I keep falling in love with Him over and over again, we sing it very beautifully. But when the Lord says, my son, my daughter, I'm going to send you some sufferings, are you willing to go over and over again? Then we say, oh no Lord, one time is okay, maximum two times. If you tell me over and over again, it's not good because you haven't told me the limit. But the fruit of the Holy Ghost is long suffering. We are telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want the fruit of the Holy Ghost. By telling the Lord, I don't want long suffering. The fruit of the Holy Ghost is the attributes of how we should become. Embracing the fellowship of His sufferings is the sign that you are His. And that's why the Lord wants all of us to be aware, whatever that He does, if we ourselves believe, everything works together for good because I love God and God called me according to His purpose, just to come console ourselves, just to comfort ourselves. If it works together for good for you, then what about Him? Him whom we say God is good. Everything that He does, everything that He thinks, it will work together for good. For Him, He is good. Why it must work together for good for Him? He is good. He brings forth good. We are the children. That's exactly why if we can stand firm until the last breath of our life, for God is good, your life will be good. It is well with your soul. Whatever happens, come what may, whatever happens. Remember John the Baptist. He is one of those forgotten servants of God. Always people think about present established truth, present established truth. So we just forget about what happened to John the Baptist. He was born, even the Holy Ghost blessed him when he was in the womb, the child jumped. He lived a very simple sacrificial life like a wife in the wilderness. For doing all of this, he was offended when he was in the prison. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, sent back some words to comfort him. But not just that. Those who believe on Him will not be put to shame, as we just listened to the wonderful sharing on Friday. If John the Baptist is telling everybody, believe in Jesus, believe in the Lord, you will now be put to shame. He was keep on talking, he was put into prison by the wife of a king, not even by a great mighty warrior. The wife of a king was able to put him into prison. Same as Jezebel, who was chasing Prophet Elijah from the place where he was supposed to be. What happened to John the Baptist? Oh, the last time we checked, his head was beheaded. And what the people will say? This man was keep on telling, believe in the Lord, you will now be put to shame. The one who was speaking, his head is on the floor. He is beheaded. So he was a liar, false prophet. Imagine how the Lord might have confounded all those criticizing hypocrites living in those times when they witnessed Stephen's death, when they witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ Calvary, when they witnessed the beheading of John the Baptist, all those servants, the grain of seeds which fell on the ground, it takes some time to bring forth life. They held to their honor by being a faithful follower of Christ until the Lord took them. That is the glory and honor the Lord blessed them with. And that's exactly what we want to be embraced with. How many of you truly believe the Lord would perform a mighty miracle to bring our Pastor Richard Gunn out of that illness? We all believe. Fasted, prayed, gathered every week in different houses. We cried and prayed. We believed. But what? The Lord had purpose in His thought to give a beautiful, mighty, fitting journey and ends with His beautiful way of suffering from Calvary. Whatever the Lord had purposed in the life of His servant, it came to pass. But in the particular time period, do you know there is something happened to all of us? Those who never prayed. Those who never fasted. Those who never cried. The grain of seed fell, brings forth fruit. And it's been 1 year, we are still here, and we will be here until the Lord wants to be here. The day when we profane the name of the Lord, lest all of us be destroyed. But until the Lord bless us to glorify His name, the whole world may say, "Oh, seventh messenger, William Marion Branham, you say the Lord, Holy Ghost is surrounding him. How come the Lord can let him be killed in a car crash?" Think about it. John the Baptist, Stephen, same pattern. Or Pastor Richard Gunn, who never had a fever for many years, and the Lord allowed him to embrace cancer. And we literally witnessed the suffering for 6 months, and he still wanted to preach with all the strength that he has got from the bed where he was lying. Do you remember many years ago you told us, "I want the Lord to take me when I preach, the place where I preach, from the pulpit." True enough, the place where he preached is the pulpit. His deathbed was his pulpit, and the Lord took him from the place where he was. Is it the pulpit? This piece of wood. If I don't preach the word of God, this is not the pulpit. It's nothing but a piece of wood. If I preach the word of God in spirit, then this is the pulpit. This is the altar. Those who share on Friday, wherever you sit, you have the pulpit in front of you. Because you preach the word. The altar is not some physical thing. It's a spiritual preparation of the tabernacle before the life comes forth. So can we be ignorant? Yes, we have the truth. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Done. Because the Lord said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished," because He told in the prayer, "Lord, bless me. The way I glorified you, glorified me. I have finished your work." Because He spoke the words. When He spoke the words, "It is finished." He can say that. But for us, He is the only one, the author of our salvation, who begins, He will end, He will finish. We say, "Lord, finish my life as you want to write. Finish my life the day you want me to be finished. But finish my life, O Lord, where I can look back and say, your name is glorified in my life. Where I go and witness to you, witness to the souls about you. I shared your testimonies of what you did in my life. I never hold anything back. I confess my sins. I confess my weakness. I confess my shortcomings to my family of God. And we pray together, we heal together, we found strength together. Lord, we saw you, we see you, and we are seeing you in one another." Togetherness. Without the togetherness, Nehemiah and Hezekiah would have been destroyed by the enemies. Don't you see that? It was the unity of the Spirit the Lord wanted them to embrace to overcome the enemies. But the Bible says, the Lord delivered them from the hand of Sennacherib. Remember? Which means what? The hand of Sennacherib was there to take over them if the Lord did not choose to help them. But how the Lord helped them? He is righteous. He can't help those who are haughty minded. He can't help those who tell the Lord, "I don't need your help." That's why we have been prayerfully meditating. Pride, haughty minded, self-righteousness is something extremely dangerous to our life. Because even God whom you serve can't help you. Self-righteousness is unbelief. The Lord says, Lord says, "My outstretched arm is here." And we say, "Look at my biceps. It's bigger than your arm. I can take care of my own life." People are there who say, "I am better than God." Who want their name to be pronounced in the face of God. Pride. We must burn it. The beauty of the church of Christ is humbleness. Humility. Not saying, "I'm humble. The Lord has given me some humility." Someone should say it about you. Someone should say it when you are not present. That is a testimony. Our Lord and Savior was rebuking disciples in their face. But whatever the goodness that you won't talk about them, He would do so in the right time, right space. So that sometimes our praise, our encouragement will also be a food to make someone to be proud. Let your words be few. Let's continue from where we left. We are going to dwell in the place where Adam, Eve, they had something and they did something, dropped what they had, and they were thrown out of a place where they were part of, and the place which was created for them. And not just that, God Himself put a wall. He put a gate that no one can access the tree of life. Now, if you go forward, Abraham and his wife Sarah, Lot and his wife and his children, something is happening at the same time in both of their lives, where Abraham is pleading for Lot. That's where we ended last Sunday, Genesis chapter 18. He's pleading for the Sodom and Gomorrah, the city that God had purposed to destroy it. Abraham is bargaining, communing with the Lord to see what he should do as a vessel of God. At the same time, Lot's wife is going to become pillar of salt along the process. On the Garden of Eden, the wife of Adam, she was deceived by the serpent, and she became the root cause of things that Adam's fulfillment must come to pass, because Adam was created for the Lord to bring certain things to come to pass, and everything worked together as the Lord wanted. But in all these things, there is a word that is keep on ringing: righteousness. There is a word that is keep on ringing in all these events that we have been studying so far: wrath of God and righteousness. And there is something in every single chapter that we studied, the word righteous is keep on ringing. And in Proverbs verse 10 says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in what? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And to them that make peace, the feet, our feet, is shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. And the Lord says, how beautiful the feet of those who publisheth peace, publisheth salvation. So, on one side we say, Lord, I want your peace, the peace of God, rule my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. On the other side, the wrath of God is also ruling something, destroying something, removing something through Christ Jesus, because He is the double-edged sword. Amen? So now let's read this, and we are going to focus on the lives that teach us lesson to us. The talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Concealeth the matter. What was spoken concerning the work of the Lord, what was spoken in the spirit of the Lord, the scripture says, the one who reveals, the one who keeps it, it shows who is faithful and who is not faithful. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. That he that taketh suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Disquietness is troubling your own flesh, self-harming. Self-harming is something many countries are fighting against, especially the countries are extremely well-developed, where we get everything. Self-harming has become the biggest cross burden that people are trying to overcome. Self-harming. We destroy ourselves because there is nothing there to destroy us. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, shall be a sure reward. You see, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I just said, the fruit of righteousness is peace, sown in peace. As righteousness tendeth to life, which is sown in peace, tendeth to life, brings forth life, so he that pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death. This is the invitation that we are going to focus on now. So there are two invitations. One that is similar to Joseph, who sent an invitation in his love, the love, not in his love of being a son to his father, but the love of God, the responsibility that God had put upon him to raise Joseph from the pit to the prison and to be next to the king, to be able to invite his father and his brothers to preserve them in the time of famine, to preserve and protect them from all harmful things that are about to come. So what Joseph did? He had the power, armies, to go and bring them as slaves. But what he did? He just sent an invitation to Jacob, his father, come to the land of Egypt. And before that, what happened? God appeared to Jacob and spoke to him, you shall go to Egypt. So on one side, the vessel is sending invitation. On the other side, the creator, the potter, speaks to another vessel, you should accept the invitation. The spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And that invitation indeed brings forth life. Jacob, Israel, he went, listened to the invitation of his son, and they lived in the land where there is milk and honey. But was it forever? They dropped it. After Jacob died, after Joseph died, the brothers became so rebellious again. Even after the father died, remember our very first sermon in the Ark of the Covenant. The brothers of Joseph were scared that Joseph may kill them. Irrespective of whatever the brother did to his brothers, they still thought, oh, my father died, he is going to kill me. He is going to take revenge against me. That is understanding. They could not understand the love of their brother because of lack of that agape love. That fall was inevitable. So where we stand now? Can we say we are going to be victorious forever? But the scripture says you have victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. But people of Israel, they fell, the Lord raised them, they fell, the Lord raised them. And even in the end time messages, the way we are living our life, irrespective of the Lord is keep on smoothing our heads, wake up, be sincere, repent, return. We hold on to that wildfire for some time, then we drop it. Hold on, drop it. Confess your trespasses and be healed. Togetherness, fellowship, unity of the spirit, unity of the brethren is something beautiful to the sight of the Lord. When we do so, enemies will come. They will hit one brother, another brother will put some medicine in prayer. He will hit him, some sister will come in. The enemy will keep on hitting everyone until the time the hands become weary and will just go away. Scripture. The Lord says, those who do not seek understanding, they will go weary. After trying everything that they can, they will go weary. And also the way the Lord broke the yoke, David did not defeat the entire army of Philistines. He just killed that yoke. That one single mighty soldier, they were thinking, the Lord allowed him to destroy that yoke. The battle is over. Let's remember this and read this. As righteousness, verse 19, tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. So the word uprightness is what we meditated last Sunday, and the scripture says the Levites were more upright than the priests. Amen. And the Lord says, whoever is so self-loving, who wants to proclaim their own self, they are the ones who creep into houses. They can't walk straight, creep. The Lord called all of us to stand upright in spirit. Creeping is a sign of sickness. Amen? Very similar to the lame who was creeping near the beautiful gate. And the Lord raised him. Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. He healed him in the name of Jesus in Nazareth. And he brought him to the beautiful gate. uprightness, being sincere, transparent, outspoken in the word of the Lord that has been revealed to us. Not to go and speak in the back. That is the job of the devil. Adversary has this beautiful attribute of speaking evil of one another in the back, because there is no courage, no boldness. Cowardness is the face the adversary will always embrace. That's exactly what we meditate here. Being upright is to be like him, not to go and rebuke his disciple to another disciple, but he rebuked him in the face. Amen? But still, he blessed them to be the apostles. Whatever our life does, our God, our Lord does, it brings forth life. Now, if the miracles of God that was done in the life of Hezekiah was the absolute, then why Hezekiah fell? Do you understand? If the Lord brought you to His truth by healing some of your sicknesses, by doing some miracles in your life, if it is sufficient for you, if it is absolute, then you should never fall. You are perfected. You can just go to the clouds directly. You can meet Him up there. King Hezekiah, who was willing to lose everything for the Lord, he fell because of the pride of his heart. Not by anything, not by broken, not by contrite spirit. The Lord is close to those people. Pride is a city of Jericho to the Lord. Pride is a Sodom and Gomorrah to the Lord. Pride is the Hophni and Phinehas to the Lord. He will burn it. He has no other choice because he can't change himself. We should want the Lord to burn it. That is the submission we must bring to the sacrifice. Amen. Now, here the message is very straightforward, because the word of the Lord helps us to be upright. And it says, verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. No matter how much armies they can gather, no matter how many weapons they can bring forth, no matter whatever the fellowship that they can think of, because Rabshakeh said, me and my brethren, because they also had a fellowship. They also had some togetherness, some unity was there. Remember, when the Lord saw the Tower of Babel was built, He said this, they are together, there is a unity, they speak the same. There is nothing that they cannot do what they can imagine. Remember, God Himself said, power of unity can also be seen in the enemies. And for that reason, they were able to come together in one mind to stone Stephen to death. There was a unity, unity of the evil. Everybody who wanted Jesus to be crucified, everyone said, crucify him, unity, togetherness of evil. That was there. And God said, there is nothing that they can't do what they imagine. So they imagined to kill him, and the Lord led them to kill him. But was it final? The book of Ecclesiastes says, chapter 12, fearing God, keeping his commandments, other than these two, everything else vanity, even your death is a vanity. No one can kill you. The fear of God brings forth knowledge and wisdom, revelation and truth, deliverance and liberty. What else do you need? When you die, just say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Your life is a sweet aroma. Everything else is a vanity. Your sickness, your pain, your failure right now, what you're going through, your depression, your thoughts of guilt, whatever that you can think of, just tell it to yourself in Jesus' name. It's a vanity. Because it's not real. If you don't trust me, whatever the strongest dream that you ever had in your life, think about the dream. When you woke up, it felt so real, right? So you are telling me you can trust your dream. Oh, it was so real. You know, I was sweating as if it was real. Then I woke up, it was a dream. Oh, so as little human being, you, me, with this little filthy carnal mind, can imagine things that is so real, and you woke up with tears and shout. And we say, oh, it was a dream. You told me because it was a dream, because there was a realization, it was not real. Amen? If you can truly believe, if you can truly understand whatever that is troubling you now, if you tell it to the faith, you are not real. It is not real. It's vanity. anything is vanity other than Him. Why? Whatever can be destroyed by His wrath, the brimstone and fire, is not real, because the existence cannot be seen after the Lord destroys it. For that reason, it's vanity. What is vanity? If you walk in a very hot road, you will see there is some water. I can see there is a mirage, there is a water. You keep chasing it. But the more you walk, you will never find it. It's not real. It looks like a water. It looks like a spring. It looks, I can go and drink the water. It's because of that heat, because of that warmth, because of that hotness around you, the place where you are in, your vision is blurred by the evaporation of the air. It looks like a water, but it's not water. That's exactly whatever that you go through in your life. It's not real. There is only one everlasting fountain. We don't look down. If you look down, the serpent will bite you. The vipers will bite you. We look up, our Savior. When He says look up, you spiritually get yourself right. Not just lifting your leg, your neck and say, Lord, I trust you. But in your heart actually looking down. Oh, what's going to happen to my life? I have this health issue. I have this problems in my life. My relatives are hurting me. I have some severe mental problem. Your heart is looking down, but your neck is up. It doesn't matter. Spiritually, we get ourselves right with the Lord. Lord, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Punish me with whatever you want, because you are my Father. You know better for my life. I'm not going to bargain with you on this. But Lord, I'm telling you, I'm reminding you of your word. I am yours. That is the boldness. I have a covenant with you. You created me. I'm created for you. For that reason, do whatever you want. I accept. I receive. I take it. Because whatever my mind can tell me, this is good for you, this is good for that, all of things are nothing compared to what you have planned for me. Trust and obey. When we do so, you know what? Even before you see the deliverance of your life from that problem, you deliver yourself from you, from your mind, from your bondage, from your cage. May the Lord bless us to break our free will, to submit to His perfect will. That is the biggest enemy that we want to face. Not by self-harming ourselves. Because the scripture says, the wicked people, they will destroy themselves. They will be troubling themselves to the extent that they can't sleep. They can't sleep. They can't have this blessed assurance. There is the disquietness, something tormenting deep inside. If it is happening to you, run back to the shelter. Make yourself right with the Lord. Something is terribly wrong. It is eating you deep inside. The glory of the Lord wants to deliver you. But what you say, let me embrace some darkness. I feel good. Run away. It will eat you, devour you. Disquietness is from the adversary. Self-harming is from the evil forces, not from the blessed assurance that we have. We have been given the blessed assurance of spirit of truth, not spirit of error. Amen? Not the spirit of fear. The Lord has called all of us just to have the fear of God. That is not, Lord, Lord, don't destroy me, Lord. Oh, if I don't go to Sunday, I may face some problem this week. If I don't go for this prayer, if I don't do this, I may face some. That is not fear of God. That is selfishness. That is business. Fear of God is, Lord, I don't want my life to profane your name. I just want to live a life that is, Lord, that you can say, Lord, my child, you are weak, but in your weakness, you will see my strength. I just want to be the fulfillment of that promise, Lord. That is your fear. When you say fear, you fear what my life will be without His mighty hand. That is the fear of God. What my life will become without His presence. That is the fear of God. What would happen to me if God had not shown mercy and grace in my life over and over again. That is fear of God. You realize, you come to a realization that my life, I am nothing without Him. Fear. You don't want to become nothing, but you want to become that something, part of the world. That is fear of God. In His love, not in His punishment. If someone comes and tells you, my brother, my sister, I read what happened to the city of Jericho. I believe Jesus Christ. It's not the faith. It's not the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It's your fear. You are scared. What if I'll be destroyed? If you say, Lord, I saw people who spoke against Jesus Christ, I saw what happened to them. They were all destroyed. So I believe Jesus. Now you know why the Lord allowed people to be martyrs, to be killed, to be insulted, despised. Not the enemies of God, the mighty servants of God, were insulted, despised, for the Lord to allow the world to be confounded, and He can separate those who can still see Him. It's not easy, the exam that He has been conducting, and to see who can pass the exam. The most challenging test ever that anyone can think of, what He has been doing from the Garden of Eden. May the Lord teach us, as we are going to meditate on what happened between the two angels and Lot, and what happened between Peter and John and the lame, and what happened between Hophni, Phinehas and God. You might be thinking, there are three, but they are the different combination, right? Hophni, Phinehas and God. Peter, John and the blame. Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. I told you, the name of Jacob was changed to Israel. But today, the moment you hear Israel, you will remember a city. Amen? How come a name of a person becomes the name of the land, a city? When Jesus walked, when He looked up to Jerusalem, He wept. Amen? Why your Savior, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Jerusalem, wept over Jerusalem? What is the meaning of Jerusalem? How many of you know? Think about it. Search with your heart. If you believe you are part of new holy city Jerusalem, you should know what this means. What does it mean by Jerusalem? Every place, every name of city in the Bible, there is a meaning given by the servants of God. Because whatever God did to them, they call the place this, they call the well this, they call the city this. Remember? Name is a remembrance of what God did in love, in anger, in mercy, in wrath. You can see different names. Let's read Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Last Sunday we read from 16 to 33, right? One of the best bargains that you could ever witness in the Bible. Started from 50, they made a settlement at 10. And now you remember why Brother Dan always told all of us, I want 10 sincere brethren to pray. It's not just a number. It's a desire of what you want. Be specific. What do you want? Fullness. Praise the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 1, we read. Verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. I've been telling in a lot of Sundays that the word door that has been used in a lot of important events in the Bible, in terms of tabernacle, tent, house, even the temple that Solomon built, the doors of Jerusalem, gates of Jerusalem, and even when our Lord said, I will come like a thief and knock your door, this word door, may the Lord bless us to go deeper. Because when the Lord told all of us, our heart, which is designed as four chambers, as we know, and when He read last Sunday, the Lord commanded His servants to cleanse the chambers, amen? To cleanse the chambers, bring all the filthiness out of the chamber, throw it away, and make sure the chamber is ready for the master to come in. I just moved from one rental place to another rental place, because we are like, passing clothes, move here and there. Every time we move, we have to clean the house, completely renovate it, so that the house is in the exact condition of how the landlord gave it to us. If at all, we will buy new things to make sure it is even better than what the landlord gave it to us. That's what we do. So that you feel some peace. Because you have a testimony of Jesus. You can't come and say, Lord, I love Jesus, and go and people say, who is this guy? I'm sure he's not a Christian. Your life should tell people that there is something. May you know which God you believe in. We should let them ask that question. I praise the Lord it happened. And this handing over the place where you stayed for a temporary time, you gave it to the landlord that. Amen. But during the time, children will scribble on the wall, make the home hole in the whole house like a auditorium, where you will see what's going on here. You will see some surprises here and there. But I have to clean everything, throw all the old things and buy new things, make the home house ready. Took time. And we were very tired. This is for something will be destroyed. Or whatever that we are talking about, I'm talking about, it's not going to be there when the Lord comes and takes us home. But this one, the Lord called all of us, love me from the bottom of your heart. He wants us to get our heart right with Him. We can't simply say, Lord, look at me. I do this, 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 this. You make sure you don't vacate my place, okay? I will lock you in my door. He cannot be contained by anyone other than His very own agape love. Even if you spend your entire life to write books about Him, as the scripture says, the earth cannot contain the books that could be written about Him. That's how great He is. That's how mighty He is. But He still chose to come and stay in your heart, and we take it so lightly. Clean your heart. Only you know what you are hiding. No one knows. Even your very close friend, even your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your sister, no one knows. Only you know and the Lord knows. Why you did this, what you are doing this, why you have done all of it. You know. Don't you dare to say, I never know. You know. You know exactly what you do. You know exactly what you spoke. You know exactly why you did. Because you are created in the image and likeness of Him. Don't you ever try to despise His creation. That's why God told Job, be a man. I'm going to inquire you. Be a man. He reminds him, be the creation. I created you. Remember, don't come and tell something nonsense. When we get ourselves right with the Lord, we tell the Lord, I did this, 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 this. I was wrong. So Lord, help me to stand upright. Prayers. Repentance is something that will change you to be a better person. If not, that repentance itself is a vanity. It's a lie. Now let's keep this, not in our knowledge, but in our heart as we read this. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. There is one more person who bowed to the ground. His name is Jacob. And now we know why God says, I'm God of Abraham, God of Jacob. Who? The Almighty introduces Himself to Moses, I am that I am. Moses says, Lord, you know, they will ask your name. Okay, go and tell them, God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac. That is my name. God glorified him in the name of his servants. Why? You can see in their life. Abraham, the father of all, the Lord bring forth all the seeds, he bowed himself to the ground. Not just like this. He just went all. Jacob, when he saw his brother Esau, who hated him to the core that he was willing to kill him, Esau bowed seven times to the ground. Jacob, to receive Esau, to hug him and kiss him. Now, in these two words, just stop there and move one chapter forward. Chapter 19, let's see the two events that are running in parallel so that we can understand. Verse 1, chapter 19. Then there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Then read again, 18, 1 and 2. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground. On one side, Abraham is going to bargain to the Lord for Lot. The next chapter, Lot is doing something very similar in some far away, but you can see they are doing exactly the same thing. Now, the name of Lot is called Righteous Lot. Remember, in the book of 2 Peter. Righteous Lot was restored, redeemed. Now, verse 11. Now, Abraham, verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. Amen. Under the tree, wash your feet, little water. Focus on every single word that is spoken here. Now let's read chapter 19, verse 2. Lord is speaking now. Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but thee will abide in the street all night. You remember, there was an assignment given to those two angels by the Almighty, and they came to do something. They wanted to abide in the street all night. They did not say they may. They said, we will go and abide in the street all night. But Lord is standing in the gap for his family, for everything that the Lord has created him for. But now you see now what Lot is doing. Abraham was bargaining with God. Now Lot is also bargaining with the two angels. What he does? And he pressed upon them greatly. How come? How come Jacob was able to wrestle all night? Remember? The angel. And the angel could not leave without blessing him. And now Lot was pressing upon those two angels greatly. And what he says, with steadfastness, he managed to turn into them. So they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. When I was reading these three verses, I went back again to the book of Acts, where the lame was crawling or seated at the gate, very similar to Abraham and Lot at the gate. When Peter and John came, he was asking for alms, and they blessed him, healed him, and brought him into the temple. Amen. But here, what is very beautiful is the gate, the door, it stands there between these three beautiful events. Abraham and the three men that we just read, Lot and the two angels, and Peter and John and the lame who was actually seated at the beautiful gate. Now let's continue. In this case, Lot brought the two angels into his house. It's not the angels dragged Lot into the street, but Lot wanted the angels to come to his house to have communion with him. So this three verses of what Abraham did and what Lot did in two different times, two different events, if we look at the consequences of what happened, how the wrath of the Lord was fulfilled, yet the Lord fulfilled something in the life of Abraham and Lot along the journey. Amen. Verse 5, chapter 18. Abraham says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. Why Abraham says, let me bring some bread and I will comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So be it, whatever you wanted. Because they saw the desire. And Abraham hastened into the tent and to Sarah and said, make ready quickly. Make ready what? Quickly. 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the earth. So husband gave an instruction to the wife and the wife obeyed in this chapter. In the next chapter, the wife could not obey what was given to her and she turned back. Now, on one side, the promised son was given after all this destruction. On the other side, the wife was taken in the pillar of salt. Now, let's read this. And Abraham ran unto the herd. He was not walking, my brethren. Throughout these 6 verses, you could see what Abraham was doing. He was running here and there to do whatever the best he can. To do whatever the quick time that he can. So that he can just do whatever the best that he can bring to that particular time of what the Lord allowed in his life. Grace. He could walk, but he could run. So he ran. Do you hear me? He could sing, but he just spoke. No. He could sing, so he sang well. He could stand, so he stood well. He could run, so he ran well. The best of the best of your life. As he took butter, verse 8, and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now this, verse 8, he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Amen? Under the tree. Amen. Now, let's read verse 7, as that is the word that is coming as young. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender, not good and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Praise the Lord. 8 verses of preparation. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. So they had some communion under the tree, and those 3 men who appeared unto Abraham, they asked Abraham, where is your wife? Where is your wife? In the Garden of Eden, serpent was looking for the wife, Eve. Amen? Wife. Why the Lord placed so much importance in the scripture for the wives of the servants of God, of the kings, even those Herods, governors whom ruled Judah, Samaria in the Old New Testament, there was a very special attention concerning the word wife. Remember Jezebel. Remember the wife of Herod who wanted the head of John the Baptist. Remember the wife of Lot who turned back. Remember Eve who was deceived. Can we say, oh, it's something bad? The wife of David, Micah, was barren because she despised her husband. Amen? Is it just very simple like man and woman and wife and husband? But Eve was created of Adam. Amen? God made Eve from Adam. And the last Adam, who is the quickening spirit, he wants us, the church, the bride, to be ready for his coming. Amen? For him to come and take us home. Now, this togetherness, in the Old Testament, as we read, when a man and woman, they become husband and wife, they shall leave their parents, they shall be one flesh. Was it one spirit or one flesh? One flesh. One flesh. Let's remember this as we continue today. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. What is the time of life to you, my brethren? What a beautiful word it is. You see, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. You tell your Lord, your Master, the Word of God, Lord, I am the part of the Word. I will be redeemed, reconciled, returned unto thee at the time of life, according to your perfect will. You are the tree of life to me. Spiritually, the way the words are spoken by his vessel in various events, it touches us in a way that is very personal to you, very intimate to you. The Lord decided when he will bring you back. The Lord decided when he will strengthen you. But we say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. That's all you can say. Everything else, the potter will do it. Here I am. Lord, I am present in your presence. That's all I can do, Lord. Everything else, I give it to you. Because you know. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. So, this was spoken to Abraham, and Sarah heard it from the tent door which was behind him. The wife was inside the tent. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She was laughing in her heart. The son-in-laws who mocked Lot, they were never redeemed from Sodom and Gomorrah. Mocking. But how come Sarah escaped? It's not something that we can see in our eyes of flesh or something that we can understand from mind to put her down. The pain, the persecution that she was going through as a woman, as a wife of Abraham, can you understand? Or do I understand? Known only to him. So whatever that we hear, like the way Hannah was praying, murmuring, She couldn't utter the word. She was broken. She was murmuring. And the Prophet Elijah said, what happened to you? Why she was like praying like a drunken woman? What happened to her? But she was not doing it intentionally. She couldn't pray. She was groaning, moaning in prayer. She couldn't speak. But the Lord heard her prayer. And she got Samuel. What a prophet. Now here, she was laughing in her heart. How come? Whatever that she did that is wrong in the sight of the Lord, the righteous judge will do what is good in the life of her. But what I was observing, after these events, Sarah died. She did not witness the marriage of her son. She was not alive when Isaac found his wife. She was not there to witness the marriage. But the promised son was given to her. That's it. She received the promise. Those who died in faith, they received not the promise. They did not see whatever the promise of this world. They don't have to. They received the promise already. Now let's remember this. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord is questioning about the unbelief. Mockery. Unbelief is mockery. Do you know? The day you think, I don't think so, you are mocking God. The day you think, is it going to come to pass, you are mocking God. Unbelief is mockery. Don't you even think it's lack of faith. It's mockery for those whom the truth is revealed. We believe. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee what he said in verse 10. Abraham said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. This is what they said unto Abraham when they questioned him, where is Sarah? Appointed time of life. And now we read in verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Just look at that verse 15 very closely. There was a confession of lie, and that lie was written back. That lie, that reproach was written to the own head. No, you lied. There was no silence left. And she said, no, I didn't laugh. But she was afraid. Abraham did the same thing. He was afraid. What if the kings would kill him? So he said, she is my sister. Now, this is what exactly happened after Abraham started bargaining for Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, what we read last Sunday from verse 16 onwards. From verse 16 onwards, we read until 33, the discussion between God and Abraham, the communion, as God said, God communed with Abraham and left. But before that, these things happen. Something is going on in the life of Abraham's wife, and something is going to come in the life of Lot and his wife, in the same journey. Now we read from verse chapter 19, where we left just now. Chapter 19, verse 4. But before they lay down, and the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round. What? Compass the house round the wall that is round about, that we studied in Acts when Peter and John were arrested because they healed the lame near the beautiful gate. Everybody came up against them and they stood around them like a wall, and Peter and John were in the midst. But the lame who was healed stood with Peter and John. The testimony of the lame, because of that, those who were surrounded, they were scared to lay hands upon Peter and John. What if they will become even more powerful? What if people may believe them even more because we persecute them? They try to become more intelligent. There is no intelligence against the perfect will of God. Everything is foolishness. Now here, all the enemies, they just round about. They came to the house where Lot stayed. And it says, both old and young. Look at the filthiness. Both old and young. All the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. bring them out unto us that we may know them in an evil way. They were demanding, threatening, instructing, throwing stones and arrows to the wall of Lot. But what Lot did, my brethren? Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Verse 6 should be in your mind. He went out at the door unto them and he shut the door after him. He don't want them to enter the door that was open, lest they go and destroy those who are inside the house. His daughters, most importantly, those two angels whom he is hosting, whom he brought, whom he greatly pressed upon. He is being accountable even to the risk of losing his own life. And not just that, there was a sacrificial thing that he said, which was spoken even before Abraham said, "Lord, I will sacrifice my son." See what the word that he spoke. And said, "I pray you, brethren." He called them brethren. Apostle Peter called them brethren, men and brethren, before he baptized them. Amen? He called them brethren. It's an invitation. Be my brother. Come to the same understanding and faith that I'm holding on to. Have the fear of God that I'm having right now. He called them brethren. He didn't call them strangers, enemies. He called them, "I pray you, I beg you, brethren, don't lose your life. You're going to be destroyed." He was telling without even knowing what's going to happen later. He said, "Brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly." He warned them. Did he warn them? He warned them. John the Baptist told the Pharisees, Sadducees, "Who warned you to escape from what is about to come? Who warned you to flee?" And here, a righteous man standing alone. My brethren, he was standing alone. If his wife was with him, she would not have turned. I'm telling you. He was standing alone. When he was standing alone, he shut the door for the entire house. He was the only one exposed to the roundabout of enemies who could do any crazy thing, who could kill him, who could do any filthy thing over him, destroy him. But he took accountability, the responsibility to put his head on the line. The same way Moses did. "Lord, destroy me. Don't do anything of my people. They are your people." Now he says, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man." Two angels, two daughters. Two angels, two daughters. He says, "I have two daughters that have not known man. They haven't lived with anyone. So let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you." A father takes the authority over his two daughters who have not known man, and he wants to offer them a sacrifice to those filthy, evil, wickedness, darkness that is surrounding the house, to do whatever the best he can to preserve those two angels. Knowing that the Heavenly Father watching over them, but still he didn't simply say, "God will come and fight. I will just sit. Let them come and hit the angels. When they lay hands on the angels, my God will become angry. He will come and destroy them." God did not do anything until these things came to pass. There was a change in the life of Hezekiah. There was a change in the life of Nehemiah. Whenever the Lord allowed the wall to be broken or hit by enemies, some growth, some revival, some change, some repentance. So now Lot is actually sacrificed his daughter. The moment he spoke, "Have my daughters." When God told Abraham, "Sacrifice your only son," Abraham said, "So be it, I'm coming." Okay, so 2 days journey, not immediate. Walk with the same thought. Show your sincerity. But the moment Abraham said, "Yes, I will," he did it. Now Lot said, "Have my daughters. Don't lay your hands on those two angels." And now you are looking at the word righteousness without being spoken yet. The word righteousness is not written yet in this chapter, but if you don't see, then we are blinded. Now he says, "And do ye to them as is good in your eyes." He is not just simply telling them, "Do only this evil thing to my daughter." He says, "Do whatever that is pleasing to your sight. Kill them, destroy them, rape them, do whatever you want, but please, I pray, my brethren, don't do anything wickedly on those two angels." He said, "For therefore, Only unto these men do nothing. He says, I am telling all of this. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Look at the accountability. Look at the responsibility. They told Lord, let us go and abide in the street. But he was the one dragged them with a great desire. He was pressing them, come, I want you to come. So because of his desire became zeal, then the zeal became sacrifice now. If he didn't say anything, simply sat at that gate like the lame who can't stand upright, simply sitting, oh, two men, just go. My life is already broken, just go and do whatever you want. I'm already outside the gate. Go and destroy anything. I will just run from here. He stood up. Abraham stood up. Lot stood up. Moses was seated when he was managing the flock of his father-in-law. Stood up. The scripture says, they stood up. Coming into the scene, responding, stood up. Just because he stood up, just because he invited, he took the responsibility of his invitation. For that invitation, what he is going to do? Kill my daughters. Was he prepared for this? Did he think, if I call these two angels, they come and the enemies come and what I will do, plan A, send my daughters, plan B, send my wife, plan C, send myself? No. He didn't think any of it. He just responded to the time of life appointed at his life. He responded. Next, something happened. The time of life blessed him to react. Something happened. The time of life blessed you to respond. The God calls you, you respond. God smotes you, react. God pricks you, you repent. Whatever he does, you react. Because you are alive, you are not dead. Now you understand what is the meaning of those walking dead, but they are alive in this world. But they are dead. If we cannot respond to the calling of God, if we cannot listen to the still voice of God, if we do not react that is pleasing to the sight, we are dead. Stood up, wake up, arise and shine. Just because of a single invitation, he wanted to feed them. Look at the situation where Lot is in now. He is about to lose his two daughters. Easy so. Just because Rahab chose to hide those two messengers, the entire city was going to be destroyed. Was she destroyed? Is it so? People will say, your flame is going to be put up. Your life is going to come to an end. You just say, praise the Lord. You know who holds your tomorrow. Don't just say it. Live it. Read this. And they said, stand back. Who said this? The two angels. Stand back. And God told Moses, hey, turn away. Move. I'm telling you, move right now. And Moses says, no, I'm not moving. I'm here. My feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. You send your wrath, I will stand here. I know your agape love will turn it away. He stood. And the angels, now the angels telling him, stand back. Stand back. Don't sit. Keep standing, but stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, and even Lot and then came near to break the door. So now, when these people are trying to threaten him, ask him, move. If you don't move, we will do things that is worse than we are about to do to them. We are going to do something worse that we will do to them. When they said, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will need to be a church. So, they are treating him as still as someone who came like a sojourner, like a stranger, like a foreigner. They don't treat him as one of him. So they are actually forsaking him, ignoring him, insulting him, and now they are warning him, we will deal worse with thee than with them. So when these people who are standing around threatening Lot, threatening them that they are going to do something bad to him, they press sore upon the man who was pressed upon the two angels greatly to bring them to home. And these enemies, they are pressing upon him very badly, even Lord, and came near to break the door. The door was about to break. They were pushing him to the door, do some evil thing to him. But what happened? So he left his door, shut his door behind him to preserve those who are inside the house. And now he is actually cornered, pushed towards the door. The door is about to break, but the door will never break. And look at the verse that we read. But the men put forth their hand, there was a hand outstretched, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. You just try to visualize what happened, what could have happened. Enemies were pushing him, punishing him, trying to insult him, do something. They were pushing him against the door is about to break. The two men who were inside the house, they outstretched their hand, put forth their hands and pulled him into the house and closed the door. The lame who was not able to enter the beautiful gate was healed by Peter and John, and they dragged him and they brought him to the temple. Amen. How beautiful it is when the Lord allows his people to be helped, when those people, they declare that I am a child of God and my life speaks it. So Lot's life is speaking, and there is a result, a fruit, something is happening in his life. If those two men didn't pull him in, something would have happened. In the name of sacrificing himself, Lot could have lost his life. But they just pulled him in, dragged him. How many times God dragged you? Be honest with yourself. How many times the Lord pulled you out from the valley? How many times the Lord pulled you out from the bottomless pit? How many times? You can't measure. How many times? You didn't even ask him. You didn't even lay your hand. You didn't even lift your hand. He just dragged you and pulled you out in his everlasting loving kindness. And we say, Lord, your mercy endureth forever. If the story ended, the two angels could have simply disappeared, because they appeared, they just came. But what happened? And they smote the men that were at the doors of the house with blindness. My brethren, anything, anyone, any power, any wickedness, any man, any woman, any Sennacherib, any Rabshaka, any Sanballat, any Tobiah, any Eliashib, whatever it is, whoever comes against the house of the Lord will turn to blindness. Blindness is the worst thing that can happen to our life, more than sickness and death. You may ask why. If you can't see the beauty of his face, if you can't see the truth, if you can't see his light, you can only see darkness, hatred, ego, pride, anger, depression, things of evil, things of flesh. Our life is a misery. Our life is something that is full of shame, full of sorrow. The angels smote the man, they turned blindness. Why? They laid their hand on the Lord's child. Can we say, I never hit anyone like them. I never punched anyone in the face. I just spoke evil against someone. Same. The moment you hate your brother in your heart, you killed him. You didn't even try to kill him. You killed him. In the New Testament, in the life that we live in, everything is mental, spiritual. It's in your mind. You may be the same man of Sodom and Gomorrah today. When you try something, I want this man to fall. I want this sister to fall. I want to see them suffer. I want to see them to fail. And then I will tell them, I am right, I am right. You are from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Check your passport. God wants us to be very careful. He is not simply joking with us. He wants us to be prepared for what is about to come. Very subtle, my brethren. Very subtle. We may not see it coming. The same way he said, I will come like a thief. The enemy will creep like a thief. But God will stand upright. He will come and knock the door. I am here. Open the door. But the enemy will try to see if there is any window open. If there is any place that he can open the roof and jump in. Creeping into houses. But God will come and knock the door. I'm coming. Upright. But what happened when the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were pushing Lot? This is the reason Lot closed the door. Because they will try to enter the house the moment they see a gap. Amen? When Nehemiah was building the wall, remember, after the wall was built in 52 days, they sanctified, consecrated, then they built the door. Until then, there was no door. There was no gap for the enemies to enter. Sealed. When you say, Lord, Holy Ghost, seal my life until the day of redemption, then what is your door? Think. What is your door? How you are going to save souls? How you are going to witness God? Your door must open, but the door must be opened in such a way only things of God can enter, not the things of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then who will seal it? Who will close it? Give the key to Him. Don't keep your key. Most of the times we fall in the name of helping. Do you know? We try to help, then we fall. We think we are helping people. But in truth, you are buying reputation. We may think, let's say I have $1 million, I'm going to allocate 0.1% to buy peace. Oh, 0.1% is about $100,000. Woo! I'm going to build churches all around the country. I'm a good soldier of Christ. You didn't give, you bought self-righteousness. You didn't give, you bought reputation, you bought pride. But you know what? The Lord will still make your help to be of help to someone. Do not forget, when city of Jericho was destroyed, silver and gold was taken back to the camp. Remember, was it made by Rahab? No. Those materials, silver, brass, iron, gold, whatever the people of God can take from that, spoils from that battle, it was consecrated, sanctified, put back into the camp of God. But those are not made by the people of Israel. It was made by the people of Jericho. What does it mean? Even the enemy will work for God's children. Those who are watching fellowship, listening, joining prayer gathering, online streaming, did you design the online platform? Do you even know how does it work? I don't know. I did not make this camera. I did not do any of this. None of us made any of it. Everything works together for good. Even all those things that are made by people who hate God will serve children of God. Nothing can stop what He has planned to provide you. Nothing. Let's read this. Lot did not smite them. He was actually holding on to peace. That's the beauty of the righteousness that I want you all to see. He did not punch them. He did not fight with them. He didn't go on the earth. Oh, my wife, where is my knife? Where is my sword? He just went and sacrificed him. Not just him, which is even more painful. He sacrificed his own daughter. Father knows. If the Lord gives you a chance, there is a bullet coming to your head. I want you to place your son before you. You will say, Lord, can you use my head? The Lord said, no, I want your child's head. But as a father, you would desire, Lord, use this stupid head. Kill me, Lord. Preserve my child. Love of a father. Amen? Lot offered his two daughters. Was it a joke to you? He offered his two daughters, not just beheaded, to be known by evil men, for evil men to do as they please. He led them all to be given. But God did not let them lay his hand on those two daughters. Now, when these angels smote the men that were at the door of the house of blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Praise the Lord. The door was locked for you and me. The life that was hid in Christ was locked for you and me. It was opened by the Spirit. It was opened by His mercy. It was given to thee by the salvation, which is a gift to you. The Lord opened the door. Amen? He opened the doors of salvation. The Lord who opened the door that no man can shut. And the Lord who can shut the door no man can open. They wearied themselves to find the door. What does it mean? They will say, I heal you in the name of Jesus. I serve God. Trinity. God is here. God is Spirit. Jesus is Son of Man. We can pray three of them. And they will design thousands of faces of Jesus Christ, assuming that He may look like this, but His name is here. There are a lot of heathen religions who hate Christianity because Christianity has become a religion. It's not a religion. It's a way of life to become the faithful followers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom we serve. Be specific. There are a lot of Christians. Even the enemy calls himself as Antichrist. Which Christ we are serving? Never learning, never be able to come to truth. What you are learning? The Lord wants us to be careful what we learn in understanding. In the truth, the revelation, the only the Holy Spirit can anoint our eyes. Ask the Lord, Lord, anoint my eyes, anoint my ears, anoint my lips, anoint my heart. Wash me in your spirit and I'll be whole. And the man said unto the Lord, verse 12, hast thou here any besides invitation? I told you, Lord invited those two angels to come into the house. And now the angels inviting Lord and his family come to the house of the Lord to escape from the wrath to come. It's not just bound to time. You see what they're asking. And the men said unto Lord, same way the two spies who were hidden by Rahab. Rahab was asked, is there any family members you have? I can redeem them together with you. For you believed, and for that reason, as for you and your house, you shall serve the Lord. They shall serve the Lord. Your family shall serve the Lord. Believe. Do not compromise your belief based on what you see. It's vanity. It will change just like that. The Father who raised me, on whom I don't even say anything facing his face, hold on to my reverence and honor. The Lord used me as a person who is not worthy. A son. He used me to baptize him. I cried after a few days because I didn't understand what happened on that day. I was numb. Because I never laid my hand on my father. But I will lay the hand on my brother in Christ. And I did. With joy. 20 years. The Lord just asked me to wait. You know what? If I tell you I waited sincerely, I'm a liar. I was insincere to the point that I even forgot the promise. The Lord had to smote my head. Wake up, you insincere. Wake up, be sincere. Then I waited patiently. In faith happened. But it was not my trophy. It was not something I can say, praise the Lord. My life is what I want to focus on. Why? I want the Lord to glorify His name in my life. That is my submission. Denying myself to carry His cross. That comes first. Then talk about all the miracles that you can witness. It may become a news to you. Remember I told you. It's not about witnessing the miracle of the Lord. It's all about being part of the miracle of the Lord. Whatever the miracle that we read, many people saw it. But there are only very few who are part of the miracle. Now read this. The invitation, they said, son-in-law, and thy son, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city. He didn't even say house. My brethren, a single righteous man who tried to shield his heart and mind from all the enemies by becoming a sacrifice, even to the extent that kill my two daughters, a single righteous man, I just read in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. For one righteous, the city rejoices. Amen? Now the angels gave an invitation. Look, go and bring whatever you want, whoever you love, your family, son-in-law, sons, whatsoever that you have in the city. They gave an invitation. Not just in the house. Look carefully. In the city, they gave him the city because God promised Abraham. Because God promised Abraham just few verses before all this happened. Chapter 18, verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Abraham is speaking to God. And I will speak yet but this one. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto this place. This is the end of the previous chapter that was reserved for Abraham and his family. The next chapter begins by saying, two men appeared unto Lot. Verse 1, chapter 19. So now there is invitation from the angels. You can go and bring anyone. 10, 20, 50,000, doesn't matter. Invite whoever wants to come. In belief, they will come. Amen? But what happened, my brethren? They told him, bring them out of this place. Bring them out of this place. Then the Lord said, you shall bear my reproach out of the camp. Amen? Out of the city. Whatever that is yours. Go to the plain. For God will take you to his mountain. Zion. Why? We read this. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place. But what these two angels told Herod in the first place, we will abide in the streets. What? You told Lord, we are just here to abide in the streets. And now you are telling Lord, you came to destroy the place. Yes. Now you read. Whoever believeth on him, they find life. Those who do not believe on him, the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen? God fills his vessels with his wrath and they will go and pour out the wrath. Amen? The angels were not lying. They told the truth to the Lord. We will just come and abide in the street, for the wrath of God abideth on the whole city. We came to destroy. If Lord did not go and invite them, if Lord did not go and proclaim his faith, he would have been destroyed along the city. But what Abraham believed came to life in the life of Lord. Do you think they had some iPhone to talk to each other? I'm Abraham here, I talk to God, be careful, whatever that you see, just do this, this, this. They had no communication other than the faith that they were holding on to. The unity of the faith is your communication to the brethren. The beauty of the love of God is your beauty that you all look same. Oh, I see Jesus in the Karthi side. Oh, he's 85 years old. Just celebrated a birthday. Beautiful child. Oh, Sister Lucy. Oh, they look same. They look same. No, he's a man. She's a woman. No, they look same. Same bride. Young and beautiful. Strong, mighty. Beautiful. Look same. Conforming to the image of God. Look same. Lot and Abraham did the same. Spoke the same. Whatever that happened. Very similar. But they were not copying each other. They copied something that was given to them. Resemblance. And Lord went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. He extended the invitation. He didn't say, you know what, angels, I don't think they will listen to you. You know, presumption is a sin. Do you know that? Presumptuous sin is even worse. Because it is judgment. Sometimes you think, you know, my colleague, I want to witness to him, but I don't think he will come. I don't think he may listen. What if he looked down on me? Presumptuous sin. The father-in-law, because Lord here is the father-in-law now, he goes and tells son-in-law, angels are inviting. The Moses father-in-law, Jethro, he told Moses, you know Moses, what you are about to do is too heavy for you. You know what you do? Appoint elders and share the burden. Amen? But what Moses said? Are you talking to me? Do you know who I am? Burning bush. You know the miracle that I planted in my life? Moses obeyed. Believe in all good things. It may even come from your enemy. For everything works together for good. Those who love God. It is true. You may think, how the enemy can bring goodness? Yes, he can. By making you strong. By making you to proclaim your faith. By making you to uncover your nakedness. By making you to put your faith into exercise, into practice. He is a blessing. Any evil force, any sickness, you can turn into a blessing. If you see what the Lord wants to teach you, there is something that is good for you. He's a provider. Now, the invitation that Lord gave, who married his daughter and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Maybe Lot would have thought, I wish I had son-in-law like Moses. Jethro said, Moses obeyed. What a beautiful son-in-law. It's son of God. It's not about in-law. Whatever that is bound to law brings forth sin. We are not bound to law. Our Lord and Savior, the end of the law of righteousness. He is righteous. We are called to be like him. Then we are released from all the law. I should do this for the sake of doing this. It's law. I must come to church because of someone wants me to come to church. It is law. We are not bound to law. The Lord called us, and that reason we are here. The Holy Spirit brought you here. For the congregation of the Lord is not assembled by men. It is assembled by the Holy One. For he loves you right now. He wants you right now. He loves you more than you can think of. And he is with you more than you can imagine. Because if that single man of house who can take accountability for the two angels whom he is watching inside, imagine the accountability and the responsibility of your Creator for creating you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son for our salvation. Like what? To just come from heaven with mighty army, he came like a simple human and came and suffered for you and me. He took all the power and honor and authority by being humble, by being the manifestation of his agape love. That's why we always earn, Lord, a beautiful church is a church who is humble in the sight of the Lord. Let's say a few verses as I close. There was a mockery. Remember the mockery? Rakshaka. There was always a mockery, which means something mighty is going to happen. Do you know that? When the Lord says, watch and pray, there are signs. The Lord will show you. Something is going to happen. Because nothing happens in your life as a coincidence. Remember this. There is no coincidence in your life. There is only perfect will of God. Always tell this. You are bound to the will of God. Amen. So last two. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened load, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So throughout the night, what happened to those people who wanted to do some evil thing to them? They were searching for the door in weariness. They were searching, where is the door? Where is the truth? Where is the revelation? Where is God? Whatever you can think of. They were searching for the door to fulfill the desire, carnal desire, desire of flesh, desire of anything. But they could not touch the door that was sealed by the two angels in the name of the Lord. They couldn't find until the next day when the light came, the bright morning, when the daybreak happened, and the angel said, it's time. Let's go and close the case. They arrived and they told them, hasten, don't wait. Do not delay in performing the commandments of the Lord. Amen? Never delay. It's not delay, it's unbelief. Now he said, arise and take thy wife. Again, they said, take thy wife. When the three men talked to Abraham, where is your wife? Oh, she's in the tent. Lord said, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here. Because everybody else rejected the invitation of Lord. The invitation was given to all. Many are called, few are chosen. The wife of Lord might have thought, I am also chosen because I came out of the city. No. It doesn't end there. There is a journey. Until we finish the journey is not over yet. Every day. You can drop it any day. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. While he lingered. Because they called him to hasten. While he lingered, the two men, they hold him. They laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. They did not leave her, my brethren. Two shall be one flesh. They did not leave her. They hold her as well. And upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Look at the last word. They set him without the city. What does it mean? They set him without the city. What does it mean? When he said, Lord, we are the lighthouse. You set us upon the hill to shine the light to all the earth. Amen? If you are in the valley, who can see the light? But the Lord says, Abraham, climb up the mountain. Moses, have you done the job? Okay, come and meet me in my office. Come to the mountain. Jesus, transfigured on the mountain. Jesus sat above all on the mountain, giving the parables. Why there is a higher ground? Was it physical or spiritual? What the angels told Lord, look prayerfully. They set him without a city. Now he is like a wanderer. He has no place. They set him without a city. At least he was a stranger. A sojourner who was staying there for a while. But now he has no name. Without a city. Everything was taken away from him, including his relatives. Wherever this place is safe. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. John the Baptist warned. Who warned you to escape? Jesus said, oh, you brood of vipers, who want you to flee? Now the angels telling him, escape! Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Just because you receive the salvation, don't you dare to stay where you are. Climb up, move forward, press on. The journey is not over yet. If you stand, you are going against the command that was given to Lord. The two angels are telling, Yes, you are set without city. True. You are out of denomination, out of darkness, out of filthiness, out of flesh, out of carnal, out of falsehood. Every fine. But just because the Lord brought you into plane, don't you stay there. Move. Where to move? When God called Ezekiel, come. Watchman, come. Go to the plain. I will meet you there. So the Lord wanted him to see, to break his free will, move his flesh, to go to the place where he wants. Then the Lord spoke to him, you will do this, this, this. Then he went up the mountain. Now let's see what Lord says. Neither stay thou in all the plain. That is exactly what the book of Revelation says. Do not be lukewarm when the truth is revealed to the seventh church age. When we are lukewarm, we have the truth, but we can run, we tend to walk. We can jump, but we tend to sit. We can preach, but we tend to be quiet. We can witness, but we tend to choose hesitation. We can do great things, but we look for small things. Neither stay thou on plain. Why? What he said? Escape to the mountain. Wow. The angels told Lord, I set you without city. Don't stay on the plain. Go to the mountain. Can Moses say, Lord, I went down to the mountain. 3,000 people were killed because they were against you, you know. We cleaned the camp. Can I just stay in the valley? No. The word of God goes back. That's the word comes back. So Moses went up the mountain again. Our spiritual life, every day, when we wake up, you might roll down from the mountain because of a mistake. But if you do not have the desire that I will climb up, even if it takes months, years, I will never stop my desire to climb the mountain. And don't think you are on the top. Let the Lord whom you serve tell you you are on the top. He is the only one who knows when your journey ends. It's not climbing from down to bottom. It's not going from point A to point B. It's a spiritual dimension of how the new city, Holy Jerusalem, will grow to the length, width and breadth. That's the mountain for you and me. The mountain when God says you are standing on Zion. Not on Gomorrah. Not on Jericho. Zion. Now you read this. They told him very clearly. Yes, I delivered you from the city. You are in the plain. But don't stand on the plain. Go to the mountain. Move forward. The journey is not over yet. The last one verse. 20 to 23. When they told him, escape the mountain, lest thou be consumed. If you don't go to the mountain, you will be consumed. Even if you stand on the plain, you might be consumed. Go to the mountain. And Lord said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. He is speaking like Moses again. Unbelief and fear and some hesitation. What if enemies will come and devour me? Come on! The entire Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed by heavenly fire. Even after you are going to witness it, are you going to still say, what if the enemies will come and devour me on the mountain? The Lord whom you serve is mighty in battle. Unbelief. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. And my soul shall live. So he is expressing his desire. What the angel said? He said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. You see, also. Okay, also. The same way God told Abraham, okay, so be it. So be it. The same way God told Moses, when the child cries, the father encourages, edifies. Make sure the child does not lose life. Now, haste thee, escape thither. Again, the angel says, haste thee, escape, escape, run to the place, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Now you know why the Lord waits. Book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 15 to 18, it says, the Lord who waits is gracious, and that grace is a time of life that we studied just now. There is a time of life in your life, grace in your life. He waits. Now, they say, I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. When he say come thither, to the word eagles, come and eat. When the angel says, until you are out and escape, I can't destroy a city. Until Rahab is restored, the walls of Jericho, the way the Lord destroys it, he will make sure his children are unharmed.
That is, no beast can enter the way of holiness. He will preserve His promises. He preserved them. The sun was risen up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you think that Lot had got what he wanted? Look at the verse 30. And Lot went up Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he didn't stay in the mountain. You know, he fell back to the cave. The way the Lord works in our lives, the way the Lord shows His grace and mercy in our lives, I pray, my brethren, be grateful. That is your sincerity to Him. The more we are grateful, the more sincere we become. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We shall continue by God's grace next week. Let's all rise and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the Lord who speaks to His children, the Lord who listens to His children, and the Lord who blesses His children to remain as your tabernacle, to remain as a city where your righteousness is glorified. Without you, Lord, we are nothing. Bless all of us, O Lord, to understand your mighty hand upon our life. It's not the man or the woman of our life. It's not the works of our life. But Lord, it is you. The mighty hand, the outstretched arm that divided the sea for us to walk in the dry land. The outstretched arm that brings forth fire, that opened the earth to devour the enemies, to protect and preserve your children. Lord, what a faithful God we serve you, Lord. What a wonderful name that we all have, O Lord. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, our Lord, King of Kings. Bless us, Lord, to continue to move up spiritually, to continue to climb up spiritually. The only way is up, O Lord. Because, O Lord, you will meet all of us up in the air, and we are waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. For thy covenant is still there between the earth and the heaven on the clouds, as you told Noah when you set the rainbow. But we look up to thee, O Father. We are waiting for your coming. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. And bless us to be prepared the same way you prepared your children in the Old Testament. But Lord, it is gold testament, O Father. Your testimony stands forever. So Lord, bless us to be humble, to be sincere, to understand the love in your anger, to understand the light in your anger, and to understand the life, the growth, that when you tell all of us, I know my children by the way they endure all suffering for my namesake. May you bless us to live our life for your namesake. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray and we claim the victory. Amen and amen.